shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike welcoming you to another one of our First of the Month Live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR, both 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz, and WBCQ at 7.490 megahertz. We're also streamed live from both of those stations, but you can get the best internet stream by going to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and then go to our radio page, and down near the bottom, you'll see a couple links under the Kingdom Concepts broadcast. They come directly from our studio. If you would like to call us, we have two toll-free numbers, 877-924-7722 or 888-656-4115. I'll repeat those, 877-924-7722 or 877-YAWS-RACE or 888-656-4115. Tonight, I have both the co-host and a guest. My co-host is a man who substituted for me while I was in the hospital. He's been a guest on the program a number of times, and we've played his pre-recorded broadcast. Pastor Buddy Tucker, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Mike. I'm glad that you're out of the hospital and have started to mend so well. And I know everyone was thrilled to hear you last month on the Kingdom Concepts broadcast.
Also, well, once again, I appreciate their prayers, and I'm sure that it helped. I'm still recovering as far as getting my strength back, but I do appreciate your prayers for me and for the ministry.
Well, I'm thrilled tonight that you have a guest on by the name of Frank Crawford, because the last broadcast that I did for you, Frank had started speaking about raising up the tabernacle of David, and I know Frank didn't get through, and I'm just so thrilled to be on tonight, hoping that Frank will continue that message where he left off.
Well, that's the purpose of tonight's broadcast, and we're happy to have as a guest Frank Crawford, a former Baptist minister who now knows his racial identity, and he has a deeper understanding of the scripture and the working of the Holy Spirit. And we're real happy to have you back, Frank. You've been a guest several times, and we've also played some of your pre-recorded broadcasts. So welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much, Mike. And Kelly, your voice sure sounds good after we could not hear it for a while. Teddy, you've been through quite an ordeal, and in the last two or three days, I've had one neighbor that they said he needed some treatments, two treatments at $10,000 each, but the whole town got to praying for him, and I tell you, I saw it out in his workshop. He's recovered, and he said, Frank, it was not the medicine, but said the prayers of God's people have brought me through. So he had quite a testimony in that direction. And he did say this. He said, we're too light on our thanksgiving for the blessings of God, and said we're too timid with our faith because he has not given us the timidity. And we need to be as bold as a lion. One man said to me in the last day or two, said, Frank, do you know what the most important fruit of the Spirit is? And I said, what's that? He said, boldness. And I saw a good example of it a day or two ago when that congressman from Kentucky, Rand Paul, tied into Hillary Clinton. And I tell you, he was bold as a lion. And so many congressmen are too timid to challenge the man in the White House. But getting to the subject today, it's a big one. And I just noticed a little bit ago, there's just so many passages of Scripture that use the word tabernacle or tabernacles plural. And there's a whole lot about it in the Scripture. And one of the greatest feasts that ever happened in Israel was the Feast of Tabernacles. And, of course, if we'd have been on last fall, our timing would have been right in the middle of it. I want to start reading here in the book of Amos. We'll go to Isaiah 54, and we'll go to another passage or two. And I'd like tonight, not only for the audience to hear these words about raising again the tabernacle of David, but I have another scripture too that's going to show you the operation of it might well be going on right now. It wasn't too long ago before he passed, Dr. D. James Kennedy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, church I've been in. He sent him two books, one on who is Esau, Edom, another one, One Man's Destiny. 10 days later, I heard him on the Sunday morning broadcast, and all of a sudden in his message, he swung his right arm over the speaker's lectern, and he said, I want to declare that the Christian nations of Europe and Australia and New Zealand and Canada and the United States of America are the scattered tribes of Israel. So we don't need to limit ourselves. Just pass a little information around and see how some people respond to it. And that was quite a declaration because Dr. Kennedy there, before he passed away, radio and TV was reaching just about 170 countries. So we're in a great day, and we're going to behold right before our eyes the raising again of the tabernacle of David, reading from the 9th chapter of Amos, and the 11th verse, I believe it is, in that day I will raise up, you could probably translate it, resurrect the tabernacle of David, which is hath fallen. And I will rebuild those parts of it which have fallen to decay, and repair what has been demolished, and there has been some demolition crews working against any mention or resurrection of the tabernacle of David. I will indeed rebuild it, Yahweh said, rebuild it as in the days of old. And we remember how that little shepherd boy out there, God was watching every step he made and every sound he made as he tended sheep, because he was in preparation to be the king of Israel. Who hath despised the day of small things? So here's this little leopard boy named David, and God was preparing him while he tended the sheep, because the day was coming he would be the shepherd over the two-footed sheep that walk in shoe leather, the house of Israel. All right. He will, when he raises it up, he said, and repairs it, he said, the meek will be seeking after the Lord. The remainder, the rest of mankind, may seek the Lord, even all the nations who are called by my name. That ought to give you a little identification there. The ones who are not, who are called by my name. That doesn't sound like Islam and what have you, up in the White House, of other names, of other groups. The word religion is never or should never be applied to Christianity. Religion is a Greek word, almost identical spelling to the English word, and it means a return to death in the Greek language. and the false gods and false worship movements, they are religion. But the Christianity, the covenant of God with the house of Israel, is not religion per se. It is reality from heaven to earth and beyond. So praise God, the real thing is what's happening in America. And I hope people across America will find out about a book by a CIA man called The Covenant. Just two words. His name is Timothy Ballard, and he has researched the birth of this nation and the founding fathers, and he declares by direct quotes and some of the records of the things they said, he declares that every founding father of America acknowledged that the birth of America was the rebirth of the house of Israel. My, that book's about 450 pages, saturated with truth. And I tell you, it's a day we better have the Tabernacle of David rising, because the situation in Washington is corrupt. Some are saying lately that the world of political government has perhaps ended right now in our lifetime. And so politics is a Greek word, politikos, and it means the rule and governing and capturing of the sheep by a tyrant. And said the tyrant or tyrannical government is that thing that relates to political government. So the hour has come that we need to see the tabernacle with clear eyes rising before us in our midst. And God's got a holy remnant that are bonding together. We might wonder, why did Jesus pray in that high priestly prayer of John 17? And somebody would call it vain repetition, but no, it wasn't. He said four times in that one chapter, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. Hallelujah. So he's bonding his sheep together, and that he will have them as one, or us as one. And so this is a day of rejoicing. And I had a daughter director nursing in the hospital, and a lawyer was still in the hospital because the patient was lost. And he had to examine about six nurses, adversarial lawyer. And then my daughter was one of them, and one doctor on duty. The person couldn't fly in the tornadic night with a chopper, and they had to go by ambulance. So they're filing suit against the hospital for the death. And when my daughter had to face that lawyer that day, she rose that morning, and God gave her Psalm 2 about the enemies gathering against our covenant God, and he said, I'll laugh them into derision. So when she went before him, he said, you know you're under a gag order. So surely you haven't told anybody but this. She said, oh, yes, I have. He said, what do you mean? She said, I told the Lord about it this morning real early. He said, you mean you talk to God? She said, every day. So every question he pops, she tied him in knots. I'll tell you something. There is a mighty God dwelling in the camp of Israel. And I'll tell you, he can tie knots in any adversary that comes his way. I've been in several churches where God absolutely throws the meeting all the way from Maryland to Florida to Mississippi and Oklahoma and Texas and several others, where the meeting was frozen all of a sudden when they were going wrong direction to please our God. And then the musician couldn't play. The songwriter couldn't sing. The instruments couldn't play, no matter what they had. And all of a sudden, I might ask the Lord, why have you frozen this meeting? He said, for you to say something. On one occasion, they were fighting the Holy Spirit. And when he froze the meeting, I quietly said, it's time for the ministers to weep between the porch and the altar. And about six men grabbed me, tumbled me out head over heels. Got outside. God split them down the middle. Three wanted to kill me and the other three wouldn't let them. So God does fight our battles when we stand for truth. Let me read a little further here because there are other passages. And he said, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when the harvester shall overtake the grape gatherer, and the grapes shall begin to ripen at seeding time. And the mountains shall distill new sweet wine, and all the hills shall be planted. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the wasted cities, and there's plenty of them, and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof, and make gardens, and eat the fruits thereof. Hallelujah. I will indeed plant them in their own land, not a land of sojourners where they temporarily dwelt. I'll plant them in their own land, and they shall no more be rooted up from the land which I have given them, saith the Lord God Almighty. And another confirmation of that is in 2 Samuel 7:10. Where he talks about rooting Israel up where they were and planting them in their more permanent land. We have so many examples of the migrations all the way from the Syrian captivity toward the British Isles until you got a strange mixture of city and town names. When they migrated along the southern end of the Caucasus Mountains, and you get over in Italy, they're Greek-named cities because they lived in Greece before they went to Italy. And on, they left their signs all the way migrating toward the British Isles. So what a day we're in. I want to show you a little romance now that goes along with this raising of the tabernacle of David. I'm going to turn to Isaiah, the 54th chapter, and we'll see how affectionately the Lord is speaking there. All right, here I'm headed back that direction. And here is chapter 54. Watch this. Rejoice, thou barren who bears not. That divorced wife of Israel wasn't bearing any kids in that divorce. Break forth with shouts of joy, thou who sufferest not the pangs of childbirth. For many more are the children of the desolate than of her who hath a husband. My. He's telling what's going to be. For the Lord said, enlarge the place of thy tent and thy curtains, stretch them out, make firm, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and make thy seeds and make thy stakes strong. Extend still farther to the right and the left, and my seed shall inherit nations, and thou shalt inhabit wasted cities. Be not terrified because thou hast been exposed to shame, and the shame there relates to the divorced wife of our Yahweh Israel. Nor blush because thou hast been reproached, for thou shalt forget the shame of ancient times, and the reproach of thy widowhood, thou shalt remember no more. For the Lord who is thy maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, or Lord of armies, even he who delivered thee, shall be called the God of Israel in the whole earth. The Lord hath not called thee as a wife forsaken and disconsolate, nor as a wife that hath been hated from her youth. Thy God has said, I left thee for a little while, but with great mercy I will compassionate thee. I don't know of any stronger verb in the whole Bible than compassionate thee. In brief wrath I turned away my face from thee, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee. The Lord who delivered thee has said, from the flood, which was in Noah's time. This is my purpose, as I solemnly promised him at that time, that I would no more be angry with the earth on thine account, nor in rebuking thee overturn the mountain. And that day hills should no more be moved. So my kindness for thee shall never fail. That's a double negative probably in the Hebrew. Never, never fail. Nor shall the covenant of thy peace ever be changed. For he said for thee, be appeased, O Lord. O thou afflicted and storm-beaten, art thou not comforted? Behold, I am preparing for thee. Now watch the names of these precious stones, and we're not going into a jewelry store right now. They're symbolic names of something he's going to do for his sheep. I am preparing for thee carbuncles for thy building stones, and the sapphires for thy foundations, and for thy battlements I will lay jasper and crystal, for thy gates and for thy circumambient walls. That's walls that totally surround you 360 degrees. Precious stones. Then there's a colon, like a dramatic dash. Even thy sons. He's saying, do you know who I'm describing? The sons of Israel, who returned to the Father, Yahweh Elohim. And these names of precious stones are describing the spirits of the restored sons and daughters of Yahweh, and he uses the most precious thing he knows, these stones, like you'd find in a jeweler's store. And he said, that is for your sons I'm describing. It's like a dramatic pause. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm describing? Even thy sons, all instructed of God, and thy children in great prosperity, and with righteousness thou shalt be rebuilded. Hallelujah. Abstain from injustice, and thou shalt not be affrighted. And as for terror, it shall not approach thee. Behold, proselytes shall come to thee for my sake. And some of them came there in the book of Acts where Peter spoke, along with returning Israelites. Some proselytes came. And they shall sojourn with thee, and they shall fly to thee. Behold, I have created thee not like a coppersmith blowing on coals and using a tool for the work, but I have created thee not for destruction. Perish every weapon formed against thee, for I will not prosper. I want to point that word. It is so emphatic, it feels like chill bumps going all over me right now. I want to point it toward Washington, D.C., and the whole Obama troop, and the whole democratic force that comes against truth, and rise truth that's arising from the dust of the earth. Every weapon they form will perish, including Obama health care. What a misnomer that is. Everyone that is formed against thee, I will not prosper, though every voice should rise up against thee. Every voice should rise against thee. If it does, thou shalt overcome them all, and in the trial they shall be condemned. There is an inheritance for them who serve the Lord. Therefore you are to be just for me, saith the Lord. The Israelites are not to be exploited by political parties and tyrannized over with political government, but Yahweh said they're going to be just for me. And may I right here show you how jealousy of our God works. Listen to this, not many miles from where I am right now. I was asked to speak for 8 days in a Baptist church. And then the first night there, two deacons under the specialists for the back care over in Jackson, Mississippi. Two of them had ruptured discs and spine, and God healed them both the first night. Then a man that was carnal, an unbelieving that was a leader in the church. He went out as the meeting continued all week and warred against not only myself, but the word being preached about Israel. And then along to the end of the week, and Sunday morning came when they had Sunday school. He was the superintendent of Sunday school, and he stood up to preside over the group. And when he got up and told a lie in the pulpit, he had been warring against us and told them he had been promoting the revival meeting all over the community, and they all knew it was a damnable lie. When he said that, the Spirit of God fell upon the whole crew congregation and slew everyone in the building down between the pews. I tell you, God doesn't tolerate a lying spirit. And when everyone was still, including myself on the floor, everything was quiet. And the Lord said to me, that man's life is in your hands, for he has lied to my sheep right in my presence. So I prayed for mercy that he might be spared. Another meeting close to there, 13 states were represented. It's come out of sheep, leading dead denominations where all they know is sermonizing from books they get at the bookstore. And they're starving to death, overcomers or would-be overcomers, to hear the word of eternal God broken down where they can digest it. And there, the man came from California, 13 states representing the folks fleeing the dead denominations and wanting to come back home to our covenant God. I was warned ahead by the Spirit, never heard of the man. I was given his name. God told me what his motive was. He's coming to exploit the sheep and going to build himself another denomination. So when he made the motion on Sunday morning, the pastor did, and I was on the front pew and made the motion to rebuild a new denomination and steal God's sheep. All of a sudden, I was slain off the pew, prostrate in the floor, and that was God's way of humbling my spirit to get ready to meet this spirit head on. So I lay there a little, and they went on. One of their preachers to be in the new denomination, he broke away and wept. The rest of them continued. Then when he told me to stand up and I walked toward the podium, the Spirit slapped the speaker out back on a short pew on the back of the podium, and I walked where he was standing, listening to what our Yahweh said to identify himself the first thing. He said, my name is Jealous, and these are my sheep I have delivered from the tents of Babylon. And if any man lays hands upon them to return them to the tents of bondage in Babylon, sudden destruction shall come up on you like the man that placed his hand upon the ark that was carrying Yahweh's presence. And so, when all of that was over, they went ahead and organized a new denomination. Just remember the words. A few days later, they had the first elders meeting in a new bondage denomination. And when they had that meeting, this man came from California to steal the sheep from our covenant God. He dropped dead in the first elders meeting, just like the prophetic word said. I tell you, God is discerning the gifts of prophecy, and his prophetic word will come to pass. And he has more than one or two vessels here down under. And so what a day we're in. Now, watch, that's very romantic words, but it's not carnal romance. It is heavenly romance of our God toward his sheep. Then here's another passage, and notice what this said just past the book of Daniel. My. Look over here in the second chapter. I'm going to start about the 13th verse. And, go a little further. I'll start toward the end of it. When she had put on her earrings and her jewels, she went after her lovers, referring to Israel, and forgot me, Yahweh said, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will cause her to wander and order her to a wilderness, and I will speak to her heart, and I will, thence I will give her for her possessions, even the valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. Do we have a lot of trouble in Washington now and across the country? He said, I'll bring her to the valley of trouble, Israel, to open her understanding, and she shall be humbled there as in the days of her youth, even as in the days of her coming up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that she will call me my husband. Oh man, what a reunion. What a restoration. And no more call me Balaam. I will indeed take away the names of the Balaams out of her mouth, and their names shall no more be mentioned. I wish people could learn what the word America means, coming from two Gothic words. Amer means kingdom, and the rest of it, Rica, means kingdom, and Amer means God. So America is the kingdom of our God. Watch some romance in the rest of this in Hosea, the second chapter. And in that day, and I will say it's this day, I will make a covenant for them with the wild beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the reptiles of the earth and bow and sword and battle I will crush out of the land. And I will settle thee securely and betroth thee to myself forever, forever. Hallelujah. All right. The trothal is usually made between the male and female to each other. But he said, I'm going to even do the betrothal. How can he do that? Jesus is walking in our flesh, in our bodies, and he will betroth us back to our Father. And I will indeed betroth thee to myself by righteousness and by judgment and by compassion and by tender mercies. And I will betroth thee to myself by fidelity or faithfulness. And thou shalt acknowledge the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will hearken to the heaven, and it shall hearken to the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hearken to Jezreel, and I will plant her for myself in the land, and love her who was not loved, not beloved, while she was divorced, and to them who were not my people, they were not his people by marriage, they were divorced, not for a season, thou art my people. I will say, and they will say, thou the Lord art my God. Now, hallelujah. The tabernacle of David is rising, and our God has a few leaders, shepherds, who know the truth, and it is being given to his sheep. Now I want to go here to this passage in Isaiah 22. And if you can see the rising of the tabernacle in this one chapter, watch this. Alright, Isaiah 22. Let me see just a moment. Get over, I'm in 12, I believe. 22. I need two X's with these Roman numerals. And there it is. I will go from Isaiah 22, chapter 22, to the 17th verse. Now just watch carefully what's happening here. And I believe this could easily be applied to America. Behold the Lord, the Yahweh of hosts, is now, I like that three-letter word, is now driving out and will utterly destroy men of rank. And he will take away thy robe and this gorgeous crown of thine. And he will whirl thee into a large, immeasurable country and there thou shalt die. And he will bring to disgrace thy splendid chariot, and he will make the house of thy chief a public walkway. In Hebrew, that means he will become, your chief ruler will become the butt of every man's joke. And we've never had one like the one there now that qualifies for that. And when thou shalt be removed, he didn't say if, but when thou shalt be removed from thine office and station, it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. Two Hebrew words, and the writer didn't even translate them. Maybe he's prodding us to do a little study. And those two words with son of in the middle means I'll call my servant Messiah, son of God, and I will clothe him, and I will commit to his hands this office of thine, and he shall be as a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to them who dwell in Judah. And I will give him the glory of David. That's not said anywhere else but to Jesus, concerning Jesus. And he shall rule, and there will be, until there will be no antagonist. And on his shoulder I will lay the key of the house of David. There again, said only of Jesus. And he will open and none shall shut. And he will shut and none shall open. And I will make him a ruler in a sure place. And he shall be a throne of glory for every honorable man in his father's house, from the least even to the greatest. On him they shall be dependent in that day. And watch the closing remarks in the 25th verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the man who is now fixed in a sure place. Well, the word fixed there means he thinks he's in a sure place. All right. He shall be removed and taken away and shall fall, and the glory which is on him shall be utterly destroyed, for the Lord hath spoken it. Hallelujah to the Lamb. What a day we are in, that the kingdom is coming. I heard a call today from a pastor in North Carolina, and he said he went down to a little small church and hadn't been in a while. He's been sick a good bit, had a heart attack. And he said the first thing off, the people, the strangers to him, they began to grab him and hug him and say, you are our father. Well, Elijah prophesied that in the, there in the latter part, not the end of the Old Testament. The prophet said, in the last days, the spirit of Elijah would come across the land, and he would turn and develop fathers in Israel, and he would turn the hearts of fathers to, King James says, children, but the Hebrew word says sons. Mature ones would understand relationship with the father better than children. And so, and he'd turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers. I got a friend in Arkansas, an Israel brother, used to work with Billy Graham some, and he said he's just got a ministry at large instead of a local church, and said they're beginning to call him Father. So that's another fulfillment of Scripture. What a day we're living in, that the King of Kings is reigning, and the small remnant knows about it. And we will overcome because we're following him whithersoever he goes. A man told me just today that he's got a son in Dallas, Texas, and said next weekend somebody in the city he lives in came and said, we're going to Dallas, and said, we know you got a son there, come ride with us and you'll have a free ride for a round trip. Well, maybe he's getting blessed and without the paper money that's being printed every few days. So then, there in that Isaiah 22, I think shows step by step removing political leaders and replacing them with the anointing and kingship of the Lord of Lords. And I know this, the best way for people to understand the kingdom is to be under the jurisdiction of the King himself. And that will enlighten our eyes more than we know. And there's so many scriptures today, we need 3 hours just to cover a few of them about the tabernacle. And there's another one in Isaiah. Let's turn over a little and watch what this description the prophet gave of the passing away of the phoning of the voting booth. Let's see, that would be about, that's 37. Let's see where that is. Yeah. Comfort ye, chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith God. And the priests speak to the understanding of Jerusalem. Comfort them, for her humiliation is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. And this will close us so tight. Hard to see the word there in the crevice. And so forth. A voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the roads of our God. Let every valley be filled, and every mountain and hill be leveled, and let all the crooked be made straight, and so forth. And let me turn to another page right here. Go back to 32, first verse, 32 of Isaiah. For behold, a righteous king shall reign, and chiefs shall rule with justice. And this man will be one who hideth his words. Didn't he tell us, don't throw your pearls beneath the swine's feet? They'll trample them underfoot and then rend you. He will hide his words. And he said, then, and he will be hid himself as from a rolling flood. And you know, in Revelation, you'll find out where the rolling flood comes from. It's the dragon's mouth that went to destroy the woman that gave birth to the firstborn son, the house of Israel, and he took her away for protection because the son had been snatched up to the throne. And so the rolling flood came out of the dragon's mouth. He's up to that also. And he will be seen on Zion like a glorious stream in a thirsty land, and they shall no more put confidence in men. How do we do that at the polling booth? But shall apply their ears to hear, and the heart of the weak will listen attentively, and trifling tongues will soon learn to speak peace, and they will no more order the fool to govern them. How do we order fools to govern us? That's what they turn out to be, so many of them. Turn out to be fools. We will all no longer order them. You do it in the voting booth. And over 100 precincts in Ohio alone said in the last presidential election, said that over 100 precincts gave Obama 100% of the vote. Now, here's how they do that. They can prepare the software for the electronic voting machine ahead of time, and they can prepare to steal half of your opponent's votes, or steal 10% or 90%, whatever they decide to do. So what a mess we are in. We don't have representative government, but I'll tell you, he who rules over us, who came forth from the grave and said on the cross, it is finished. And if you had a Greek interlinear like I have here, it tells you in the book of Hebrews, it calls Jesus the consummator. He consummated the whole program from beginning to end. He said, it is finished, even down to this day. And so, what the power is in resurrection. I think I've shared this before, Mike and Buddy shared this before, but when I got drowned upside down in a hydraulic whirlpool in the TVA dam area, and then carried away in my spirit to heaven for 20 minutes, I often wondered later, What would somebody walk to the bank of that river and saw me, my body bouncing up and down, feet toward the sky and head toward the bottom, what they would have thought. 20 minutes later, my spirit returns after that time in heaven, and there stood an angel at my right side, 40 feet from the bank, and the water walled up around me, and I was hanging in a air tunnel of air from the surface of the water to the bottom, about 12 feet deep, the river. They had opened the gate. It got too full, the reservoir, and turned the river loose and caught us right out in the middle in a rock garden having an afternoon meal. And so then the angel reached his right hand to my navel and his left hand to the small of the back, turned me gently upside down, and when he did, no water was in the stomach or the lungs anymore. The water was churning around us like it was behind a glass wall. I tell you, we're in miraculous days, and we're going to see it more and more. For this is the day of the Lord. It's the day of salvation. We're going to learn the word salvation means far more than just individual sins being forgiven. Even Israelites of old praying cried out for the salvation of Israel. Salvation can apply to saving a whole nation. And I'll tell you, I had a little tremor from a New Madrid fault just yesterday. I fell asleep on the couch. I was pretty tired. And I woke up, and a light tremor of the quake woke me up. I felt that's a sign a much bigger one is coming. The seismologists up there say that soon there will be a big one that will destroy the cities of Memphis and St. Louis. No, no. I tell you, he said he would shake everything that's shakeable. A new church I know about in Nashville, Tennessee, two couples broke away from their denomination, started home Bible study. Before you could turn around, they went in a rented building, and they were about 400 of them. A little later I get from them, there's 1,000 of them that bought a ski lodge building for half price, and they don't allow any exalted pulpit place for the leadership. They said everybody is equal on the same level, and if you want to interrupt and ask a question or share a blessing, that church is really getting edified. My, my. What a turn to get away from the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, where the priest is exalted above the people. What a time we're in, fellas. Any comments you'd like to make, take your liberty.
Well, I know that at the same time as the tabernacle of David is being risen, the government of God on earth, the old Babylonian system is falling. It's taking place simultaneously. Yeah. The dry bones of Israel are in part waking up. I know there's a much greater waking up, but in order to wake up, they need the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the breath of God.
Yeah. Well, you know, there in that valley of dry bones, the Lord asked the prophet who that was, and he spoke the truth and said, "Thou knowest," and he told him it's the whole house of Israel. And the dry bones were saying, our hope is gone. Our bones are dried in the sun. But then it says, the Lord intervened and brought them up out of their graves. They were in spiritual graves. I tell you, false doctrine and mixtures of this, that, and the other, it kills, you see. It destroys their awareness of the presence of our covenant God. Listen to what Paul Harvey told just shortly before he died. Heard him for 50 years. He said they invited a man at a Southwestern Baptist seminar, Bible seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, to come and speak on Joel's prophecy, the Holy Spirit being poured out in the last days. And Paul Harvey reported it, and I heard him on his broadcast, said the Holy Spirit broke out so hundreds of faculty members and the students were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he said they had to shut down classes for a solid week or 8 days. Then he said shortly thereafter, some, maybe another speaker went to Wheaton College where Billy Graham went and spoke to them on the Holy Spirit, and the same thing happened there. And there's the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. I was in Kentucky and Mike was sick, and may not have heard this, but nobody has. And we had a Sunday morning service, and I was commanded. I had a good pastor friend died in Tulsa, but I couldn't go. He commanded me to be there that weekend. Sunday morning service started at 12:30. They were still going. There's three local pastors, and I had another one with me, 700 miles from here. And then about 12:30, I stopped and asked these folks, aren't you going to lunch today? Not a soul had left. A man's voice thundered in the audience, and he said, America is in great peril, and we're going to stay here till you tell us what God's going to do about it. And the meeting went on until 3 o'clock, lasted 4 hours, not a soul left to go to lunch. And the faith was building all the time. I've never been in a meeting that long that I know of, not nearly that long. And then I asked the senior pastor, I saw a little girl over there, looked 12 or 14, away from the crowd. And I said, I was wondering, is she afraid of people or is she handicapped? He said, that's our daughter. I said, what's wrong with her? He said, she's epileptic and never could go to school and has a fear demon of people. She'd run away from the classroom, hide in the restroom. When he said she's epileptic, the Spirit spoke out of my mouth and said she won't be epileptic after this day. And then he, the pastor and his wife and the other minister and I laid hands on her, prayed for her. She was instantly delivered of epilepsy and the fear of the people. Put her in school the next day and they said she's 14, she belongs in the 10th grade. They put her in the 10th grade and the whole school staff said she acts like she's been in this school all her life. Came home the first day, threw out both hands to her dad and mom, said, everybody loves me. I tell you, I am all for it if God wants to bring miracles. Little girl in Orlando, you know, driving around over on a bike, riding with my daughter around the lake at about age 9, and a drunk driver ran over. The daughter dashed in the yard, and the granddaddy was there with her, just in fellowship, and we didn't wait for an ambulance, so I was taught to maybe how to handle her body with head injuries. I got in the back and held her. Smitty drove 95 or 100 down the interstate. Hospital in 3 minutes before arrival, she died in my arms. And they rolled her in, had a bed out waiting. Rolled her in, did the vitals, pulled the sheet over her head. Doctor went in the prayer room right across the hall. Smitty and I went down on her knees with marble floors and went to praying. About 20 minutes later, the doctor came back and walked up at her feet, covered from head to toe. He raised the sheet, pulled out his car keys, stroked the bottom of her right foot, and her knees jumped up. God brought her back. Then some of my friends, since we lived in Smitty Didden, were gathered already with us and praying. And the doctor said, I'll have to give you bad news. Said she's going to be a vegetable the rest of her life. About three voices among us said, no, she won't, doctor. Our God doesn't do things halfway. And then later he modified his words and said, she'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. We said, no, she won't. She'll be home in 3 or 4 days. She's going to grow up, get married, and raise a family. 4 days later, she's out of the hospital and back home in North Florida. I tell you, we've been too timid with our faith. And it was building the whole congregation there for us to have that meeting. So that little girl is just going great in school up in Union, Kentucky. How big is our God? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And why don't you say, Frank, you talk too much so you guys can say something. Buddy, what you want to say?
Praise Yahweh for the blessings that you've been to us, Frank.
Well, I tell you, there's so many wrapped up blessings that need to be poured out among God's covenant people. And I'll tell you, I do not know what kind of doors are going to be open. But I had a prophetic word recently, and I haven't probably shared these with you and Mike. This word came the 14th of January, and listen to what it said. I'm riding down the highway going to the bank 9 miles away, straight up 12 o'clock on the 14th of January. All of a sudden I heard a thundering voice, and the Lord said, the Antichrist that's dwelling in the White House and has come forth in the spirit of Goliath to destroy America, is now, after he has come forth in that spirit, the spirit of David has gone out to meet him in battle. Boom. What a word.
Yeah.
Last time I heard the spirit of David quoted, Robert Kennedy was campaigning in California to be the Democratic nominee. And Jack Crawford spoke there and used something about Goliath and David that night. And he said that night, said, we better read this scripture again. It says, we're encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And Jack was pointing out, these patriarchs of old, overcomers, their spirit is still here. There's no death for their spirit. And he said, they're still here. And he said, the spirit of David's gone out from this meeting, this night, to meet Robert Kennedy in battle in California. 4 hours later, Robert's dead.
There's two types of miracles. I believe in them both. It's the lifting up of his people and also bringing death to the unrighteous. We have less than 2 minutes left in the broadcast. Would you like to kind of summarize?
Well, we just covered tonight the prophecy, and it surely is being fulfilled. And then I went to other scriptures showing the operation of it. I think there in the 22nd chapter of Isaiah is one of the best examples for it taking place to remove the wicked rulers in high places in today. And we've seen some already go down, and we're going to see a lot more.
I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight, Frank, and hope to have you on sometime in the future.
Thank you very much. It's been my delight. And may God bless America, His kingdom people.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.